All live programming today on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM is supported by the Marion Towers Apartments. Address, 400 Delaware Avenue here in Marion. Telephone number, 740-387-9050.
Hello, we're on the air with Glenn Coble, and this is a progressive life. Jeff, are you on the line? I lost him. All right, we're waiting now for Jeff Seitz, and I've lost him three times, so I'm sure he'll call back now. I've got to punch this little button to make sure he can call back. Jeff, if you happen to be listening, we are back. We are on the air, and I can take your phone call. Some of the problems, a lot of people don't realize this, but we have a 30-second delay, and people think that they're going to go right on the line, on the air. And in fact, we're not off the air yet. It gets confusing. Anyway, Jeff, you can give us a call now, and we will be taking your phone call, and we will talk. Jeff is here. He comes now. All right. Let's see if we can get him in here. Jeff, are you on the line? Jeff, can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you now. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you fine. Sorry about that. We kind of... you called before I was off the air, before our commercials were off the air. So we are on the air, and I was able to pick up the phone call this time. The other two or three times, you were Johnny on the spot, but I was not. I'm sorry about that.
Okay, that's all right.
This is Jeff Seitz running for the in the primary, in the Democratic primary for Congress, U.S. Congress, in the 4th District. And how are things going for you so far?
Things are going great. I just want to wish everybody a happy Earth Day.
Yes, it is.
I believe it's the 50th anniversary. But campaign's going good. A little wrinkle, as you will, everyone knows.
They're always
with the
there.
Primary being moved.
Yeah.
You know, it's just kind of weird that I can't get out and meet people and, you know, shake hands anymore. But it's going well, and hopefully we're going to come out on top when all the votes are counted.
Well, everybody's in the same boat, Jeff. So, I mean, all three of the Democratic candidates in the primary are having to stay at home.
Yeah.
So this is going to be interesting. This might tell us something about campaigning door-to-door. When I was running for office, I was told the only way you could win is if you hit, I think I hit 3,000 doors, something like that. But and I was told that was the only way you could win. Obviously, it didn't work for me. But are you concerned that people haven't gotten to know you very well because you haven't been able to go around door-to-door?
Well, we, all three of us, throughout the spring, really kind of hit a lot of debates together.
Yep.
And we've attracted a lot of people, plus with our outreach on social media, Twitter, Facebook, and the website, I think we're reaching a fair amount of the people in the district. And, I'm not too worried about it because we get, emails and stuff like that.
Right.
And feedback on the website and Facebook page.
I'm so very proud. I know all three of you, and I'm very proud of all three of you. You have run honest, straight-up campaigns, not calling names, just doing what you have to do and telling what you believe. And there are some differences between the three of you. They're not huge differences, but there are differences. And I think the the people that are going to vote for you are probably getting a pretty good idea of where you stand.
Yeah, I think so, too. It's been all three of us, like you said, we've been campaigning on the issues, not against each other. We all, three of us, just want the electorate to make up their minds.
Yeah.
And to pick the best person that's going to run against Jim Jordan.
Well, after I noticed, or after I put notification that you were going to be on the show yesterday,
I did get two questions. Do you mind if I ask them now?
Yeah, go ahead.
They're both very similar, but I'm going to ask this one first. She asks, can you further talk about how the population of the prison is used to gerrymander the district into a safe seat for Jordan? And then the other one is it entirely ignored by him when they are ill or are in peril? I guess she's asking you to respond to his lack of discussion about about anything, especially the president. The president.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think. I hate to speak for anybody or ill of anybody, but Mr. Jordan, I don't believe cares about the prisons.
Yeah, I don't think so.
And I don't believe the biggest part of gerrymandering is the prisons. I think it's the gerrymandering is done to isolate big pockets of Democratic voters away from the Republican voters. And that's, I think that is the core of gerrymandering.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily the prisons. But it's with the prisons and COVID nowadays, I see the one here in Ohio has like 1,000 of the inmates has COVID, which is just terrible.
Yes.
I think the governor has done very good at trying to release people from the prison that are nonviolent and being proactive about that. And I want to applaud Governor DeWine for really tackling this COVID issue up front and ahead of everything. And I think it's mitigated some of the pain throughout Ohio with this virus, too.
He's gotten a lot of grief about it. Even amongst his own people, there's a lady who's running for Senate that was in that picture where they were screaming at the state house doors. I was and you know that I'm a Democrat, and you know that I'm a progressive Democrat, but I was proud of his stance. I thought he did a pretty good job. Now, I would have loved to have had Richard Cordray. I think he might have done a better job, but not to be. The other question I got is right along the same line. She asks, or he asks in this case, he asks, what do you think the government, if you were congressman, what would you have them do in the government right now, in the federal government?
Well, I think I would be listening to my medical professionals more than what Mr. Trump is doing. He is pushing a lot of this malaria drugs that he has no business even suggesting. So we need to listen to our health professionals, get the people that need the PPE, because I'm in logistics. So this is kind of my ballpark of we need to get these things out to the different states in a hurry in an efficient manner so these people can get protected. Now, this also includes my nephew. My nephew is a respiratory therapist, and he is in Detroit right now helping them out.
My.
So
he's
I
directly
want to see Detroit get their PPE.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, I think we need to listen to our professionals. And I know it's hurting our economy, and I can see it with the company I work for because those guys have been out of work for over a month now. But it's, you know, safety over this. It's kind of a delicate balance between we need to make sure people are working so they have, you know, the money to support their families versus somebody next to you in a closed cell like we have in our production area, that it could go through that little cell there and infect four people in less than a day. Mm-hmm. And then it just spreads from there, and it's that delicate balance. But really, we need to listen to our healthcare professionals and provide for them.
As opposed to when they say something on stage with you, trying to shut them up. Why do you think that this current government is basically like that Chinese statue, see no evil, hear no evil, say no evil? Why are they doing that? It can't be good for them, I wouldn't think. It's actually wrecked him in the polls right now.
Yeah, I think it all goes back to... and again, I hate talking negative about people, but the president has a very big ego, and he has to feed that ego, and he has to be right. And that is part of the problem. If he would just step back, let the healthcare professionals handle this, and be that leader to say, okay, we need to listen to this person, instead of going, oh, I know the answers to everything, mm-hmm. and I am in control of everything. That is the problem. Mm-hmm. Instead of letting the people, the subject matter experts, lead on this issue.
Well, and I understand that you're trying not to cast dispersions upon our fearless leader. I can do that. I'm not running for office. But it just seems to me that right now it's hurting him to be so non-committal. And I truly believe that those of us who run for positions, as I have done and as you are doing, we have to have some form of ego. If you didn't have an ego, you'd be scared to death. I mean, it's the way you get around stage fright, is you have a little ego and you say, okay, I can get up there and tell this. When you have problems is when you have so much ego, you won't listen to anybody else. Now,
exactly.
If you were given a wand and you could change anything about our federal government, because you're running for Congress, which is a very high position, what would your number one thing be?
Have a representative in our district that is not afraid to talk to the people of the district.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right now, that's what we have. He doesn't want to talk to any of us. And that's why the main reason I got into this is he doesn't want to talk to us. He doesn't want to know about our lives, our you know, trials and tribulations out here in regular life. I'm in that life, mm-hmm. and that's what I see. And like you said, with ego, you have to step back, you have to listen, and you have to be willing to go, that's the right thing to do when I'm listening to people. That makes sense to me. Let's try that.
Right.
And Jordan does not do that.
Well, are you old enough to remember when Muhammad Ali in his heyday?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You remember they used to talk about a rope-a-dope strategy that people were
right.
using either on him or he would use on somebody else. It seems to me that both our president and Mr. Jordan are using kind of a rope-a-dope strategy, doing nothing and hoping people will just vote for him because they're the incumbent.
Yeah, they're their party, you know. And that's why when I was out there before, I would always end with the Kennedy quote of, let's don't look for a Democratic way or a Republican way, but let's look for an American way. And that's not what we have anymore. We have either or. And I was just thinking the other day is, we need to stop listening to the fringes, the far left and the far right, and we need to listen to what people are actually saying to us and not running around scared that either the COVID's going to get us or it's a hoax. You know, we need to think and listen to people and, you know, form something out there that's going to help a majority of the people out here, which is not happening. It's either left or right. There's no in between anymore. And
yep.
that's where all the Americans are getting left behind, in that area.
It's like my team or your team. I'm rooting for my team, and to heck with your team, right?
yeah, but we're all Americans, so it's
yep.
all our team.
It is all
know?
Our
and
team.
And that's
yeah.
what I want.
Yeah.
You know, that's where I came from back in the heyday of Reagan administration. It's we had that we are Americans.
Mm-hmm.
And we are not that anymore. And I want us to get back there.
Well, we had a cause back when Kennedy was around. We wanted to get
mm-hmm.
to the moon, and we had a social. We were all together. We seem to have lost that. I was
yeah.
pleasantly surprised last night. I was watching Lawrence O'Donnell, and he had OAC on. And she is pretty far right and pretty outspoken. But even she said, we're going to have to do something. And I'm glad to hear that even the very far right people are very interested in at least getting something done for the people of America.
Right. And it's the one thing I'm really, really concerned now is, and I understand we have to help the American people, but that deficit is going to continue to grow at a humongous rate now. And how do we get that under control before it really, really kills America? And that's what I'm worried about.
Do you have?
And we know the Republicans are supposed to be the deficit hawk.
Yeah.
And they have not been
no.
under the Trump administration.
Can they retrieve the tax break they gave the top 1%?
Yeah, that would work. I'm more concerned about what happened with all that small business money that was supposed to go to small business, not big corporations, not medium corporations,
right.
but the mom-and-pop shops on Main Street
right.
that hire a lot of our people in the district. And then that money stays in our district, not the big corporations that are siphoning off all this money. And Trump has allowed this because he did away with the oversight on it.
Yeah, yeah. And, well, like Ruth's Chris Steakhouse, they each one of them hires less than 500 people, but it's a huge corporation, and they mm-hmm. they qualified. Now, I don't understand why do they not have it broken up? I always think of a small business as some 50 or less employees, but we go all the way up to 500 or less with this stimulus package. Why do you think it goes so high? 500 is a lot of people.
Yeah, it is. It's about the size of the company I work for
uh-huh.
at the plant in the States. Okay, there's 500 and some odd people that work with me at Roki. But there are plants across the world. It's a yeah. rather large corporation. But if you just look in at Roki Mexico or Roki America, you know, then it becomes, oh, I can get this money.
Yeah.
And that shouldn't be. It should, to me, it should have started on the bottom and worked its way up.
I agree. Well, but I'm not a politician.
I'm crazy that way. So. But it's all about helping Americans. And how can you help Americans when the corporations are taking up the money?
Yeah.
That's my question.
Well, it all started with Citizens United when we decided that yeah. corporations were people.
Oh, don't get me started on that one.
Yeah, I think that's a rallying cry for most Democrats that I know.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm going to read you something out of your, I think it's on your webpage, but I mm-hmm. put this in because I think this will lead to an interesting question. It says, and this is from you, I've been laid off. I've been unemployed and struggled to find a job I could provide for my family with, or find a job that I could provide my family. I don't read very well, I'm sorry. I've been hurt and couldn't afford to see a doctor and skipped medications to make ends meet. There are so many people in that category right now, and mm-hmm. This virus is not helping any. I'm lucky. I'm on Social Security now. Now, I worked all my life to be on Social Security, and that is my money that they're trying mm-hmm. to take away. But there are a lot of people right now that are in that. What would you say to those people? You've got to be able to feel that frustration and fear, quite frankly. What do you say to those people? What are we going to do to help those people that are in the
situation? I know. It was a very long 2 years
uh-huh.
of my life, and it's taken me 10 years to recover. Mm-hmm. But throughout it all, I concentrated on taking care of my daughter. What do I need to do to take care of my daughter? I didn't. Yeah, there was times I was depressed and fairly depressed with my situation, but you had to fight through that. And think about your family. Care for your family. Do what needs to be done for your family. Even though my daughter would ask me for things throughout the 2 years I was unemployed, she got to know that the only thing that I would really buy her are books mm-hmm. and a Matchbox car. because the Matchbox cars were like a dollar.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, I can afford that rather than, you know, a Door to the Explorer doll. Yeah. But I did what I had to do to get by and keep moving forward. And that included moving in with my friend in that 8x10-foot room that we always hear on my commercial. I stuffed everything I could into that 8x10-foot room, and I tried to keep everything I had in that room because my friend took me in.
Uh-huh.
And it was a very humbling experience, but you have to look at on the backside of it. At the end of the tunnel, there is that light, and every American I know out there, we always strive to get moving and keep moving. And I'm pretty sure that once everything is done with this virus, I'm pretty sure that the economy is going to rebound, and everything will not go back to normal. It can never go back to normal after this. But I think people will recover from this. And don't take me wrong, I've lost almost 30% of my 401k.
Yeah, me too.
You know, and it's like I watched that thing go down and down. And I lost my 401k in those 2 years. You know, it was gone. So I had to start from scratch again with my new job at Roki. And, you know, so I've steadily put stuff away only to see that, bam, vanish in the course of a month. But it's still technically there.
Yeah.
And you have to keep a positive mindset that it will return. We will be all right. The good thing is Congress has provided that anybody catching the COVID, kind of the bills are taken care of for this if you go into the hospital. And that's a great thing. Because, you know, we know that there are Americans out there that don't have insurance, and that's a shame. And that's another thing about this COVID thing, is this just reinforces the Democratic thought of a single-payer health care system.
Sure does. Puts a spotlight right on it. Yep.
It does.
And why a person doesn't, after going through this, why a person will say, no, we need private enterprise to run this. Those people probably weren't cut off their private enterprise because they ran out of money, whereas there are a lot of people doing that.
Let me tell you another story that just happened. My company changed insurance providers, okay?
Yep.
So since we changed our provider, two of my pills are no longer covered, and that's going to cost me an additional $70 a month.
Wow.
So now I have to go back to my healthcare professional and figure out what I'm going to do. Now, we always hear the right say, well, we want to choose who our providers are and all that stuff. And I got news for them. They don't have a choice because if their company switch providers, they're stuck with it.
That's right, yeah.
And they don't realize this. All they hear is the dog whistles out there of the Trump administration and how bad single-payer health care is. Well, I got news for them. They ain't choosing any more than, you know, anybody else out there.
Well,
single-payer health care, you know, you can just walk in and say, here's my card, and you're done.
I'm on Medicare, and I do pay for an Advantage program. It's about a couple hundred dollars a month, or maybe $300 a month for my wife and myself. But I can go into a doctor, and everything's paid for, and that's such a good feeling.
But Glenn, why should you buy an additional insurance policy after you've been paid into the system for all those years?
I agree.
That's just an added expense.
I do absolutely agree with you. And
sorry, I'm getting passionate. I'm sorry.
Well, I think that's what we need to hear from our people running for office. We need to hear your passions. We need to know that you're out there trying to help us. And I don't understand why so many people, poor people, people that are struggling to find health insurance, and it seems like almost a majority of them are voting for Trump. I do not understand why they would vote against their own best interest. Maybe you got an answer to that. Do you have an answer to that?
I don't have an answer to it because my brother, who is disabled, is a Trump fan. And I have yet to reconcile that.
Yeah.
And it just boggles the mind of what these people are thinking. And they think that he's all about America when he is not. He's about himself, and that's all he cares about.
Well, again, in one of your publications, you say have too many millionaires. They're making government work for people like them. I know what mm-hmm. folks in our communities are really up against, and I'm going to fight for people like us. And the tax break that Trump and family, and I call them a family, or they're more of a cult. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But I know what they did to all of us who are struggling to make ends meet. They took the money and gave it to the rich people. I guess mm-hmm. they thought it was going to trickle down to me, but I've never seen anything trickle down.
No. We learned that during the Reagan administration.
Well, my wife and I talk about that quite often, and I'd rather have Reagan back than what we've got right now.
That's the truth. I'd rather have Bush back than what we've got now.
So, oh, well.
So ultimately, I'd like to have Obama back. He did a great job, I think.
He did do a good job. And there are a lot of people that hate him. I'm not sure whether it has to do with race or whether it has to do with propaganda that was poked out about him. I have, mm-hmm. to this day, never heard a person give me a reason why he did a bad job. They all make their mistakes. They all have mm-hmm. Faux pas that they probably would like to take back. But it's not... he was so far better. As a matter of fact, I've told a lot of people that I truly believe that Obama's the best president I've lived under. And I give Eisenhower number two on that, mm-hmm. who was a Republican. But I was very young at that time, so I really didn't know what I was doing. But, well, what would you like to... well, first of all, let's get this... We need to get some homework out of the way here. Where can people go to help you out, or where can they go to see what your position is?
Well, you can go to three places, sitesforcongress.com, which is the website. It's also Sites for Congress for both the Twitter page and the Facebook page. The Facebook page is very active day to day, and you'd probably get more information on what we post on the Facebook page. But you're on the website, you can send me an email, and we'll do our best to respond to you. But those are the three ways that we're reaching out to people right now.
Okay. You have any public, what do you call it, social media things that you're doing right now where you can actually, people can tune in and see you doing anything live? It's kind of tough to do anything live right now, I suppose.
Yeah, it's we discussed that, and we felt that we would just be reaching the same people on the Facebook page time after time.
Yep, probably.
And so I've been doing some calls to the different voters throughout the district, talking to them, how are things going with the virus, did you ask for an absentee ballot, did you get it, did you return it, do you know where to return it to? Those sort of things that, we're doing some calls around the district to help people out.
Well, let's talk about that. When is the last moment they can get an absentee ballot, and when is the last moment they have to have it in?
The 25th is when the last day they can request one.
Okay.
But we've seen people comment on the Facebook page that it's taken about 10 days to get.
Oh, so...
So then it has to be postmarked no later than the 27th.
Oh, so if they come in on the 25th, they may not get it done.
Right.
No.
So they are limited counties that will allow in-person voting for homeless and the disabled.
Uh-huh.
But most of the Board of Elections can actually take the vote or the absentee ballot from the voter. So they can do that, too.
Now, you have 14, I think it's 14 counties that you would be representing. And so all of them have different rules, I'm guessing. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. So you need to check with the local Board of Elections. If you can't get them, you can go to the state and get information.
So probably the best thing to do, first of all, is call your local Board of Education. Board of Education. Board of Election, right? Find out what their rules are. So if we get off the air right now and somebody says, oh, I really wanted to vote for Jeff, I don't know what to do, get on the phone right away. And they're in their offices. They will talk to you, and they'll tell you what to do.
And if you don't or you can't find the number, there's a COVID page on the website that lists all the Board of Elections and everything that you can go to and for information.
Yeah, I did a kind of went through the entire district and pulled up all the cities that had over 10,000 people. And there are a lot of cities that have over 10,000 people. So you better get in line quickly, because if you try to do it on the last day, I think you're going to miss out, right?
Right, right. Although I did see a report in the Columbus Dispatch today that the request for absentee ballots is way, way down. I think it's only like 22% of the electorate.
Huh.
So it may be a small turnout.
Okay.
Just because it's so new.
Now would that have to do also with the fact that people already voted, or do you? Is that including those people? It's a low turnout.
I think it's excluding all the people that's already voted in person before the election date and the absentee ballots that were already sent out. I think the request, since it's been announced that you can do it by mail, I think only 22% of the electorate that is available to get those absentee ballots has requested them.
Well, now, your district that you're running for looks like a duck, and the reason why it looks like a duck is because they gerrymandered all the Democratic areas out.
Mm-hmm.
And do you think the gerrymandering? I know in 2021 we are going to have a change in that. Do you think it'll be a change for the better, or do you think it'll be more of the same?
Well, I believe Ohio has voted to put in their constitution that it has to be gerrymandered. What's the word I'm looking for? Correctly, maybe. Instead of just decided by a handful of Republicans like it was last time.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense for the Ohio 4th to run from Urbana all the way up near Cleveland.
Yeah.
You know, to me, a congressman should be around a geographic location that is common to the people.
Yeah.
Because Allen County is much different than Lorain County.
Yeah.
You know, because Allen County is more rural than it is than Lorain County. So, and in between, you know, with Seneca and all that. So I think it will change. And there was one map that I saw. I think it would combine some of the Ohio 5th into the Ohio 4th. So, and, you know, there's rumors that one district, one congressional rep would go away because of population loss.
Oh, is that right? Yeah.
Yeah.
That would hurt Ohio nationally then, right? Because we'd have one less vote in Congress. Yeah.
Right.
And it wouldn't hurt Democrats because we don't have very many Democrats in Congress from Ohio.
I think we may have a continuation of the blue wave this time around.
I hope so.
And, yeah, me too.
I think a lot of people think that. When I was running, I thought I would catch a little bit of the blue wave, and almost all of us lost by the same percentage. It was about, we got about 30% of the vote, and that was kind of disappointing, but maybe people are learning. I think people are kind of learning what our federal government is up to right now, and that should help you running for Congress, I would think.
I would hope so.
Yeah. Well, what are you going to do for the next, what is it, about a week? Are you just going to keep your fingers crossed? What are you going to do?
Yeah, I don't think I have any more nails. I've been biting them for a month now. So it's just, we're going to keep plodding along, keep trying to help people.
Uh-huh.
We're probably going to, kind of let up on the pedal of fundraising and stuff probably later this week. And, you know, I don't even know when it's all going to be announced, who the nominee will be.
Yeah, it's probably going to take a little while, I would guess, because they have to count a lot.
They have 10 days to certify the election.
Okay.
So it could be like May 8th, I think it comes out to, or something like that.
Okay, I'm going to put your forward-thinking cap on. If you become the person to run against Jim Jordan, What's your first priority going to be getting out there into the public?
My first priority getting out there, A, is going to be letting everybody, and I mean everybody, know who I am and what I stand for. And that means continuing to talk about Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, talk about ethics in government that we see probably Jim Jordan is about.
We need that.
And, you know, it was amazing that March was the first year or first month in a long, long time that we did not have a school shooting.
Is that right?
We need to continue to have a conversation about gun violence out there.
Yeah, we do.
And how it affects people and everything that, you know, gun violence touches everybody's lives, whether we know it or not. You know, I was just in a shooting range here in Lima looking at how they operate and what they offer and kind of quizzing the people without them knowing who I was. And, you know, it was just amazing to hear the philosophy of it. And, you know, but we need that conversation about the gun violence. So Social Security, ethics, and gun violence are going to be those things that I'm out there in front talking to people about. Not arguing with them, but we're going to have a conversation about it. And that's where I think I'm going to win the voters out there.
I one of the proudest moments I had in my election or my campaign was I went to the March for Life down in Columbus when it was put on by the group of young people who had been involved in the shooting down in Florida, and I had a placard that said "I'm with the kids," and as I was walking across from my parking spot, a young lady came up to me and she said, "I see you're running for office." I said, "Yes." And she said, I see what your name is. I will remember you." And I said, "Well, thank you very much." And then I realized later she was on stage. She was one of the kids during the shooting down in Florida. And she said she was going to remember me. That was a great moment. It's giving me chill bumps right now thinking about her saying that to. And I didn't know who she was. And when she said, "I'll remember you," I just thought, well, that's a nice thing to say. But then I remember, I saw her up on stage. Oh, well.
Yeah.
I don't.
Let me add one more thing.
Yes, then, I didn't want to keep you too long. But
I'm working from home, so, you know, I've got time now. But anyways, going back to the environment and Earth Day, one of the side effects of this stay-at-home thing has been we've seen fog or smog in some of the big cities go away.
Go away, yes.
And that is another big thing that the Democrats can hit the Republicans on is, look, humans are affecting the environment we live in. Just look at these pictures of Los Angeles that the smog is clearing up, and Wuhan, China was the same way. So we are affecting it, and this is what the Democrats have been saying for years, of humans affect our environment, and we need to do something about it.
Do you believe that the Republican stance against all the sciences, it seems like, is a strategic thing, or are they really that ignorant?
No, I think it's strategic.
Yeah.
It's all of the coal companies and the fossil fuel companies in their back pockets. You know, instead of doing what is right for Americans and cleaning up our environment, Trump is rolling back some of those EPA regulations and allowing these polluters to go on. And it's just, it's like we're going back to the 70s or 60s or something like that, where we just pollute at will and without any punishment. When now we see that we do affect our environment, and we need to do something about it for our children.
Now, one last thing I wanted to ask you about, and I had it written down here and I forgot to ask. I noticed that our president keeps supporting that malaria drug. And I have heard that he owns part of the company that makes that. Have you heard that, or do you think there is another reason why he would be supporting that? Or
well,
is he
I wouldn't
just
be
stupid?
Surprised that he has investments in it, but we'll never know because he's never released his tax returns or anything like that.
Yeah.
But I think it's just reckless that somebody that doesn't have a medical license, never studied medicine, is giving people hope that this medicine is a cure-all. Now,
yeah.
That medicine, I've heard that if taken, it has some side effects, as, you know, creating heart attacks.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, there's reports that it works, and that's great. But we need to be cautious about that and explore all the opportunities before willy-nilly, you know, saying, here, take this medicine, and I hope you live.
Yeah.
You know, we need to listen to the scientists and the doctors that are on the forefront of this pandemic.
Well, Dr. Fauci, he seems to be the voice of reason within this administration, and that's who I listen to.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and that's
science.
That's who we all listen to. And I think he's got the Freedom Medal from, I want to say Bush, but I think it might have been Obama. So he's got the same medal that Trump gave to Rush Limbaugh.
Rush Limbaugh. That's just
disgusting. Yeah, it's just disgusting. but it's, you know, so we need to listen to this doctor and you know, abide by what he's saying to us.
When I was with the United States Army Field Band, one of the gigs that we played at was at the awarding of one of those Medal of Freedoms, and I can't remember who it was for, but we just played a little bit. I think we probably played 10 minutes and got off stage and let the person do his speech. But I was proud that we did an award like that until they awarded to Limbaugh. just could not believe that.
There's been so many great Americans receive that,
yep,
that honor.
Yeah.
And to do that, just to play to his base, and just degrades that honor.
Well, one of the memes that's on Facebook, it lists like four or five different people, and it says that Obama gave them all medals of freedom. Well, the only one I think was Clinton. I think he did actually give him a Medal of Freedom. But, telling lies, I hope, will not pay off. And we seem to be very good at telling lies. And that was another thing that always bothered me when I was running for office. People coming up to me saying, I don't believe any politician. Well, I'll tell you what, Jeff, I believe you, and I believe your other two people that are running on the Democratic side. I believe you. I think you will tell the truth. I am certain that you will.
That.
Yeah. We've only got about a minute to go. So any last thing you want to say before we throw you off the air?
No, I just want to make sure if you get an absentee ballot, make sure it gets back in so you exercise your right to vote.
Yeah, and give us the addresses where people can learn about you one more time.
Sitesforcongress.com. And that's the same thing for the Twitter and the Facebook page, just Sites for Congress.
Okay. And we have about 45 seconds. Do you have any special thing that you forgot to say? Or we can just call it a day?
I think I've said a lot today.
All right.
And I've been pretty passionate about it today, I think because it's all been bottled up for the last month.
Yeah.
So it's good to get it out in the public again, so it's that people know what I stand for again.
All right. Well, Jeff Seitz, we appreciate you coming on. This was your second time. We've had one of your opponents on a couple of times. We have not had one of your opponents has not called in. I'm a little surprised. But thank you very much for participating on A Progressive Life. And best of luck to you, and have a good night on election night. All right?
All right.
Take care, Jeff. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right.
I really appreciate Jeff coming on. I hit the wrong button, turned my own mic off. I hope that you will have a good day, and I hope you enjoyed this interview with Jeff. He's running for Congress, U.S. Congress, in the 4th District. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Listen for guests like legendary comedian Shecky Green.
No, well, you also did.